My name is Chris Loswick, and you started to listen to Just Call Wick. Wicky, wicky, wick, wick, wick. We talk about surfing, the coast side, real estate, comedy, what's going on in the world, all of the above. In this day and age, no one even has conversations anymore. Okay, here we are. We're starting off the podcast of Just Call Wick with Schilling here. Dave Schilling in the house.
What up?
And we got Dom Spinardi as always.
Shut off in fucking 2 minutes.
So yeah, we're here today just fucking talking about life. Me and Schilling went out last night and tried to chase chicks down. Did a undercover study of the dynamics of women and how they react in the bar.
Yeah. You said something funny last night too.
It's pretty damn interesting.
Yeah, they either hate you right off the bat and think you're the creepiest guy ever, or they love you.
Exactly. I got from one table the best guy in the world, and then from another table, what'd that chick say? Thank you for saving me.
Saving me from the creepy bro.
I got so riddled, and I was walking away, and I was like, I'm such a fucking great guy. I don't know why they fucking felt that way. I was leaning into one girl, laughing with her, and she just gave me the most creeped out look I've ever seen on
a
girl's face.
She cringed. She cringed. As if he sneezed in her face.
I was like, okay, just laughing here. And then we're like, okay, peace, chicks. And then we just skirted out the door, so wounded, but laughing. Smarty doesn't have to worry about that anymore. Because he's married.
Locked down.
Been on lockdown for a while.
So, right. Right, you're 26 year old. She's a little wild.
Yeah. You know, Thin Walls and Metallica.
What does that mean, Thin Walls and Metallica?
Oh, he's just trying to give himself some privacy while he's...
Yeah? Is that what you do? You turn it up on the iPhone and then just rail your chick next to Michael Strong? Earmuffs, Strong!
Nah, I should be doing that, but that was my old roommate in San Diego. He'd come home at like 3 in the morning, you know, after a late night at the bar, and all I hear is like, dun-dun-dun! And the walls are like shaking.
Silence until 3 a.m. 20 minutes, and then he comes out to make a sandwich.
I remember your roommate down south, and he would come home and just put, or I'd come home, and he would have like, he'd have Sade blasting at the top of the speaker's volume, and he'd be like, chicks love this music.
No, you're thinking of the legendary.
Dude.
No, this was
Percy treatment for Percy chicks.
He was a legend, though, man. He had, like, he was on bath salts, I think, before anyone was even on it.
What?
Who,
I've never known anybody to
Metallica?
Take that.
No, I don't think he was sniffing them, though. Or whatever they do with bath salts.
I think he's smoking, right?
I have no idea. I've never
Did
really... All I know is
no,
some people...
that's what they were doing, and it was making turning people into zombies, man.
And, like, cannibals, right?
Yeah, biting faces.
That's what I thought, ripping faces off after some bath salts.
That's no good.
In the wonderful state of Florida.
Shilling, you experiment with hallucinogenics quite a bit,
yeah.
Don't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And would you come out in a transcendental state?
For a while, yeah. You mean after the trip is over?
Yeah.
No, you always hope that some of that inspiration is going to last and some of those revelations, but you really just get to borrow that perspective. You don't always get to take it home with you.
What about DMT?
Never done it.
Joe Rogan talks a lot about that on his podcast, and he's always saying...
A lot about wanting to do it, or the fact that he's done it?
That he's done it, and it just takes him to another level of looking at his life from an outer perspective and then changing the things that are whack about him. Weed used to do that for me. I'd be like, oh, I can't believe I was doing that today, like at school or whatever. Like,
yeah.
I'm such a Daryl. I'm so embarrassed of myself. And then
I'd get stoned and isolate, and then I would just be kind of a little creep by myself, yeah, and get paranoid of everything.
Yeah.
That's... Sperardi over here thinks everyone's out to get him, dude. He went into the mall the other day, and he thought some guy was going to shoot up the mall because he was wearing a trench coat and had one hand in his trench coat. Sperardi just that's looked legit. At him and flipped the bitch and went back to his car and didn't even go in the mall.
No, I did actually get
you got to trust your gut, man.
You did go to the mall?
I briskly walked past him, trying to give him, like, the eye, like, don't
I'm cool.
shoot me,
cool.
I'm one of the cool ones.
We had this guy at the Ritz-Carlton in Pastry, and he does wear a trench coat to work and has that total psychotic look in his eye, and he hates me. I'm definitely the first one to go if he comes and shoots up the Ritz-Carlton, so I'm not trying to make any friends there, but we'll see. I'll take him down.
How long you been there?
3.5 years.
Yeah. How much longer you
think
you
left? 4 in November. It depends. Depends on how many sales I get as far as real estate goes. If I start pumping it out, get a ton of sales, I can transition quicker out. But I always have the restaurant to fall back on, even if I don't like it.
Yeah.
I just don't like the late nights, man. I'd rather wake up at 5:30 in the morning and just start killing it, you know? Like doing good in life early. Yeah. Get to bed early, have a normal social life, because that's what it comes down to, is you don't get a normal social life when you're working in the restaurant 24/7.
That's a very good point.
You end up hanging out with people you work with, fucking your coworkers.
Yeah.
Causing drama amongst the coworkers.
Getting your name written down in lipstick on the to-kill list.
Oh man, I went into the Chowder House the other day. I hadn't been in there in a long time. I didn't really recognize too many faces. Although Byron, I told him that you and I got roasted while we were at a comedy night a couple weeks ago. Like this chick, man, this square Jewish chick just started riddling us for being bros. She's like, what are you wearing? You're wearing shorts? You guys are wearing shorts? You're wearing sandals back there. You got this hat on. You know, just like, well, just making fun of our dress, right? Just totally judging us, you know? Sizing us up. She determined that we were bros and needed to get riddled.
Yeah. And then I tried to talk to her after, and she proceeded to riddle me and then just walked away from me.
Yeah, what did she say?
I was like, whoa, you're even a bitch off stage.
Yeah.
Well, you know, what do they say, like, in Borat, when, like, American humor, or you can make fun of, like, what people can change?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, if they can't change it, and you're still riddling them. But, yeah, if you're
going
to be dressed like...
Then you're Trump, right?
Yeah, everyone was commenting on my boat shoes, which I thought were very in, because you wear the boat shoes, you wear the little tiny socks.
Yeah.
It's very stylish, so it took a lot of effort from my part to get there, and then for them to make fun of it, it was just like, what am I doing here, man?
Well, what did you say the other night when you came back? You're like, I'm dressed like a prince.
Well, sorry, you were dressed like a vagrant, dude. I was just
bouncing. I get accused for being homeless. Hey,
I'm dressed like a prince here. It's that sports coat, man.
The sports coat does it on the blazer.
The beige blazer, dude. That's the prince wear.
You just have a blazer on with, like, jeans or whatever. Like,
just looks more official.
Yeah.
Legit.
Mm-hmm. That's what bitches want.
Chicks really do look at your shoes, man. It catches me off guard when a woman tells me that. Like, oh, the first thing I look at a guy is his fingernails and his shoes.
Huh.
All right.
Oh, man, yeah. My shoes look like shit.
I don't know. You're looking pretty fresh, man. I can't push myself to wearing something that's uncomfortable just because it looks nice.
Function.
Yeah,
socks
function over
and
fashion,
sandals.
Right?
That's what gets the bitches. And solar shields.
What's a solar shield? The old man glasses?
Yeah.
Oh. We're going to patent a lost line of... solar shields.
And sandals with, like, built-in socks.
Just Sanooks, dude. Just like a Sanook with a high sock line, some stripes on it, dude.
What's a Sanook?
Those, they're not sandal shoes.
I'm just thinking something
that looked like a sandal, you know, maybe it's even painted on. It's just a sock with, like, pads on the bottom, but it looks like you're wearing sandals, huh? Just paint on the little...
Those are cool. Have you seen the running shoes with the toes?
Sure, yeah. Oh, yeah. Those look like a great way to get stinky. Stinky feet. Little fucking... little crevices that you can't clean out. I don't know if that's a good idea at all.
Yep.
That's what God wants you to do, though.
Just run.
Well,
I think God wants us to chill, dude. Do a lot of chilling, man.
And chilling, too.
You know, just not too much walking. I think that when your feet hurt, it's like, hey, it's the Creator trying to tell you you need to chill.
Word to that, man.
So, Sean, you're finishing college now. How's that going?
Dude, I just took my last final yesterday, so Calc 2 definitely humbled me, but I got a C, and I'm moving on to the next fucking level.
Calc 2?
Calc 2.
And they make you take all that crazy math and make you do it by hand and using very minimal calculators.
Fuck, yeah, dude.
And now they just have computers doing that all the time, so it's better just to learn all the software, but you still have to get the grade in school.
Yeah.
And take these classes that you're never going to use in order to be an engineer to learn, get into the career where you're actually learning to use the software.
Yeah, and then once you get there, you don't even know how to use the shit. You've been doing integrals by hand, and you don't even know how to punch them into a computer and apply them. It's like, oh, come on, man.
But that's quite the task to become an engineer at 31 years old.
Yeah, no
kidding. My hat goes off to you. And you're with all these, like, 20, 21-year-old. Little bebopping kids, and they're like, I don't know what I want to be.
I know, it's kind of fun.
And you're like, well, I'm here, I got a beard, and I'm finishing college at 31. I'm not getting any younger.
I pack a
lunch. Definitely getting older. I pack a lunch, and I'm here to just get my stuff done.
Yeah. Do you have to wear bifocals?
I'll probably need them by the end.
You know, Spinardi has an associate's degree from CSM.
Skyline.
You have an associate degree or ship.
How much is it worth?
It's not worth anything.
Something done, dude. I got my associate's done.
I don't know why people, they offer it to you. They're like, hey, do you want to apply for the associates? I'm like, no, what the fuck is that going to get me?
It's a stepping stone, baby.
You can put it somewhere on your resume under all the other stuff that's...
That you know what? I don't think I have it, but I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't have, like, the
diploma. You have the credits, but not the
diploma.
Well, whatever, dude.
I was thinking about my bachelor's degree, and the little alumni pin from University of Hawaii is more important to me than the actual degree. I like that, keep that pin there, and I'm like, anyone could buy one of these pins, I reckon. But for me, it just sits there under my computer, and I'm like, yeah, I graduated that.
You should get the coffee mug, too.
That would be good.
That thing around town.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that would win me some friends. Maybe I could get the license plate holders too. Just throw it down. UH alumni. I graduated in communications, which basically means I ain't gonna do shit. But no, communications, you can do anything, man. You can do real estate, you can work in hospitalities, you can do arts, whatever kind of doors open up. You never know until
probably
you start knocking on doors.
Human resources and stuff too, right?
Yeah, I would never want to do that. Human resources. I love the human resources chicks at my work, but their life is just dealing with the drama that humans create around the workplace. And I don't envy it at all. And they're such sweet women too. Just a tough job. I mean, you put any humans in any kind of arena and it's, and it just becomes problematic and dramatic. And I don't know why we do that to each other. Maybe it's just like evolution, and the point where we're just like always causing drama and trying to stay alive between each other. But I just don't understand it. Like even at church, man, where you're preaching morality and all this stuff, there's hella drama at the church, dude.
A lot of good gossip there, right?
Yeah, because humans are imperfect, man.
Right? Didn't The Simpsons, Reverend Lovejoy and his wife?
I love
you know, she was just such the gossip. Nosy Nancy, just in everyone's business.
Chatty Cathy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just the sewing circle. But, man, you get drama in the workplace, and you know what? I had this kind of epiphany the other day that really... All right, men and women have a hard time working together. Follow me here. So men and women communicate differently, for one. And then there's the whole sexual tension thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the difference in communication, sometimes a woman will try to communicate something and try to do it without sounding like a bitch. You know, she doesn't want to own it and command somebody to do something, even if she is the superior.
Mm-hmm.
And so she'll kind of come off seeming a little like two-faced, whereas a guy will normally be really direct, ask for exactly what he needs, and then move past it. But there seems to be like these layers of communication, especially like when you get the whole you know, gender barrier. So, you know, a woman might not actually be able to get her point across, but still come off like a bitch. And it's that's just a tough dynamic for one. And then you've got the whole sexual aspect of you know, working side by side. And then to further annoy things, then you have your spouse at home who's assessing every workplace relationship you have and
so true.
And getting upset if you mention Janet's name too many times when you work closely by her and that's part of your day, you know? So then you have the jealousy at home, which is something that I didn't even realize was a factor until later on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I experienced all the stuff in workhouse, you know, fucking, you know, sleeping where you eat or shitting where you eat.
Mm-hmm.
But dipping
the company pen and the company ink.
And so you can cut that whole thing out of your life and be like, all right, I'm not going to deal with that drama anymore. But then you still have to deal with the fact that your old lady is jealous of your coworkers.
This is true.
So we, you know, we tried to let him stay at home, but they didn't want that. They wanted to come into the workplace, and now they're pissed off.
Yeah. Yeah, the workplace gets difficult. I was dating this one girl, and she was working in a completely separate department. I'm like, I'm cool. This is great. She's at work, but separate department. Sure enough, she moves up in the ranks, becomes my direct superior after we broke up. I was like, perfect. Worst case scenario. I get written up for basically nothing, and then I realize, well, this sucks. That's how it goes.
She wrote you up?
Yeah, man. You can't sleep with your coworkers.
So for what?
Darn sure.
For what?
No call.
Chump?
No call, no show.
It's worth a write-up. I'm writing you up for having no stamina and only worried about yourself. So tell me, Chris, was she relationship material?
Yeah, she was, for sure.
That was the other thing that made me laugh while I was on my way over here, was thinking about how you said... this girl was giving you a hard time because you were just being straight with her about wanting to hit it, and she called mm-hmm. you a disgusting pig, and you're like, well, I mean, you're just not relationship material, you know? Here, I'll tell you that I'm down to hit it and quit it, but, you know, she can't handle the fucking information that she's just not relationship material.
Oh, you know? Never tell that to a girl. I mean, sponsor told me to tell her.
Holy
like, just
shit.
Be honest.
But, like, that's how I feel every single time, and I don't even, like, put those words in my head. I will forevermore. But yeah, I never really assign those words, you know, because you kind of got to look past the fact that they're not relationship material in order to just get it in, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But then you step away from the subject and you're like, or the next day and you're thinking about it, or just when they gaze into your eyes and you're like, oh, don't do that. Don't look away,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah, looking
so then
for
you
your
close
soul.
Your eyes and think about somebody else, mm-hmm. you know?
That's bad, yeah. That happens.
So why are you even there in that case, you know? You shouldn't have let it get that far.
Mm-hmm. Or you have that dream about one chick, and you wake up, you're sleeping next to another, and you're like, glad she can't read my thoughts.
Oh, my God.
But last night was funny, because my boy that's all in the game.
The game.
He texted me this morning, he wrote up a written dossier of what happened last night, and then sent it to me in a Google Docs. I was like, God damn, dude, this guy keeping track of his numbers. He was like, had a 45-minute discussion with a chick, had a 2 to 3 hour meeting with another chick. He wrote down everything, all the pros and cons of the evening and all these goals. I was like, buddy, you're taking this pickup thing to a whole nother level, and I kind of like it.
Yeah, that's impressive. How much time did it take him to fucking write all that shit?
That's a full-time job.
Yeah.
I'm trying to do that.
No kidding, right?
I still gotta make time to surf.
I know. What are you doing today, dude?
Dude, I don't know. These full-time pimps, man. It's like, one's enough for me, dude. I don't know. That's almost too much.
One is too many and 1,000 is never enough.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's the truth, man. Robert,
why are you in it? Why are you pimping? You know, you're doing that because you live in fear of looking back when you're an old man and not being able to get anything and just being able to look back and say, all right, at least I got that one and that one and a few of those, and that was a good time.
Yeah. I feel like I'm to the point where I'm like wife hunting, where I'm like doing interviews and should just give chicks an application and be like, can you fill this out? I need to check your credit. And then maybe we can go on some dates and then maybe I can put a ring on your finger.
No,
we
so if like, there's like a Carfax for chicks, would you
there is one for Carfax? Guys. There's one for guys, but not for girls.
Really?
Yeah. Like a salvage title came back. You were salvaged. I'm sorry.
Bro, you said it'd never been in an accident. Been in rehab twice?
You went bankrupt? What? 51-50?
Got an inconclusive paternity test, but... Mm-hmm.
Captain Save-A-Ho, dude.
Captain Save-A-Ho all day, man.
Girls are challenging, man. They're interesting beings. But yeah, I'm 31, so you don't believe in marriage. But you're coming around.
Yeah, well, you know, you gotta play the game, right? I mean, like, so here's the thing, dude. There's been a couple of girls that I've been with where it's like, yeah, I could have just got married, right? Didn't work, just got the divorce, and everyone would be like, oh, hey, at least you got married, you know, at least you've been married or something like that. You got that fucking, you know, what merit badge that society calls for.
I ran into Saul, and he's already got a divorce, man. Sure. He got married and already got a divorce, and he's 30 years old.
Yeah, I'm like, Kelly back to town after getting divorced.
Same story. Yeah. I was like, hey, how's your love life? You dating anyone?
Alistair, for that matter, that you just mentioned the other day.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah, how's her twin? Her twin. Yeah, that's 3 divorces off the bat, man. It's part of American society nowadays. You get married, and if it's not working, you don't want to fix it, you don't want to put in the effort, you just get a divorce. It's just as easy. It's almost putting in more effort to get divorced than actually sit in a shitty relationship and then try to change it.
Yeah.
Anyone who gets divorced, for me, I'm, like, stoked for them.
So, really, I just want the kid.
That's true, too. It is good for the kids.
You should go to Costa Rica, like, and maybe one, you know, some place you've been before, and they're like, 2S Papa. Like, what? It's been 10 years. Or 2.
That'd be sick. Now, yeah, you want to get it at least, you know, get past.
So you would go there and be like, I'm your papa. Right?
No, you don't say, I'm your papa. Someone says that to you.
Like, papi?
Papi. That's not like a señorita.
So basically he's saying you banged out a bunch of logs. And yep. Now you're going back to reap what you sowed.
Just illegitimate families in all different countries, third world countries.
I mean, why not?
Yeah, crazy, man.
But no,
that's down. The male agenda, Mexico. Right?
Yeah, no, I just want to
spread your seed.
Well, and I want to be able to like have a kid that I can hang out with, and I want him to grow. I want him to start growing up. You know, at this point, I'm like, all right, getting older. I want to still be able to huck a football, run out for a pass. You know?
Yeah.
That's where you gotta come in with the RDNP. Lifestyle. Raw dog, no pull out.
Just inseminating.
I know, Spinardi. I told you the other day in some conversation, I'm like, pull out method, story of your life, Spinardi. You got it down. He's like, pull out? Pff, fuck, bro, I don't pull out. What?
Pull in.
What?
Johnny Appleseed.
Not a fucking Dodger, huh? So there's some MMA guy who, or Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, who doesn't spill his seed in vain. Like, when he has sex with the intent of having offspring.
Yeah, I know exactly like, who that is, dude.
What's
his name? He's got, like, Gracie family.
Yeah, Gracie.
Grandpa.
Yeah.
Every time he fucks, it's in order to make a child. So he has, like, 21 kids, dude. Yeah. All different chicks. Yeah. And he's the fucking man, dude. Henna Gracie or something.
Bankroll to do that.
Yeah, maybe, but it's in Brazil, so it's like, it's all good. Kids are going to be little monsters. And they are, man. The kids are like, that's the Gracie Academy. So they're all the best Brazilian jiu-jitsu and fighters in the entire world, dude.
Bob Marley had singers. That guy had little fighters, little fucking meatheads.
Yeah.
And then they're gonna kick his ass, be like, "You never took care of me."
Little Brazos. Nah, they probably
same with Bob Marley, man. That guy spilled his seed all over the place, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And he had, like, 12 kids. They're all kind of bitter at him at the same time.
Yeah, they can all sing.
They're rad kids, dude. And they just got skills from that, so I think that's kind of natural human nature, but now it's so frowned upon in society. If you just are impregnate a girl and not take care of the kid, or if you just don't have just one family now, which I think takes just a lot of, like, discipline and willpower in order to just have one family and raise that family to the fullest.
You're defying your DNA, your genes. Like, there's something inside you that's telling you that it's not right to be with just one woman.
Like, Tom Spinardi's a good example, dude. Your parents are still together.
Yeah.
They're still doing the damn thing.
Yeah.
That's incredible, man.
Take it seriously.
It's those Catholic vows.
That Catholic religion coming in, but who knows? I don't know, you know. Worked out for them. They're, what is it, like 50%?
The chances?
Of people getting divorced?
Yeah, something like that.
So,
yeah.
But I don't know. Like, you never know. Like, my grandparents have friends that have gotten, like, divorced at, like, 80.
Wow.
Made it that far.
Pull the plug.
At 80.
I can't stand you anymore.
Herbert
these four
around.
More years.
Herbert was hooking up with some old granny, like, on the
philandering on the DL.
On the other side of the golf course, you know? They lived on, like, a golf course.
Yeah.
Was this your grandparents?
Just mowing the back nine.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's crazy, man. Yeah, my grandpa, he smuggled Viagra into the old folks' home. That's pretty funny.
Money slinging those, huh?
Yeah, it's like prison in there, man.
You can't have
coke,
Viagra?
Getting Viagra on the DL. Just
you ever see My Little Miss Sunshine?
Yeah.
The grandpa's just shooting heroin?
He doesn't care. He's like, I'm old as hell. I'm just going to do as many drugs as possible because I'm old.
You're young. You'd be a fool to do drugs. You'd be a fool to do that stuff. I'd be a fool not to. I'm old. And he looks around and he's like, dude, I got shuffleboard. I got swimming, water aerobics, bingo. Like, all these sick activities that all he has to do is, like, go take a nap in the middle of the day and hang out with, you know, a 4-to-1 ratio of men to women. Women to men.
No way.
Yeah.
Is that what happens at the old folks' home?
Yeah,
if you get in a good one.
Yeah.
I gotta get in a good one.
I saw these little things called granny pods. So it's like a little movable structure. Dude, you need to fucking be telling people about it because people are gonna be like, oh, well, it's only a 3-bedroom. And you'd be like, hey, there's this movable structure, costs $40,000. It's got little video cameras in it in case granny falls down and breaks her hip. And the floors are padded so she's not gonna break her hip. Little washer, dryer, sink, stove. You know, just simple. Simple little kit. I don't even think there's a stove. I think it's just like microwave.
It's like a
fridge.
Little studio.
A little studio, and like, dude, you could totally rent that out as an au pair unit. It's a separate unit, and it's a movable structure, so you don't need permits for it.
Love au pairs.
In San County.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, perfect thing for your granny. Just move her in.
Yep.
She gets a nice little living room to
nice
chill out.
Nice little studio, her own space. You go out there whenever you want. Yeah.
She falls down. She hits her little life alert.
But you got the video camera, so you can see if she's fallen and she can't get up. But at the same time, she's got a padded floor. So if you do go down, you're not even going to break the glass.
Hits.
No. They got padding underneath the laminate floor.
Those only cost $40,000?
$40,000. Well, I mean, that's not cheap, but...
I'll get one for myself.
That's what I'm saying. Like, people could rent that out, and it would pay for itself in, what, fucking a year and a half on the coast?
Quicker than that.
$2,000
six
for a little,
months.
For a little, oh, my God.
Because the rent's so expensive.
I know, so all you need is a little bit of
land. You're living plush in the city. Hey. You got your dad paying rent. He's got his house paid off. You're living plush,
you know what's
man.
Gonna
it's
happen,
such a nice
though?
Area.
It's going to turn into, like, the Matrix in that scene where, like, they're being born.
When they wake up, or...
Everyone's going to have, like, their own little pod with, like, oxygen and, like, sewer systems, and it's all be, like, soundproof, but there'll be, like, high-density cells, like, housing just stacked, but you're just, like, in your little spot.
Well, I go to this thing. It's a float tank, and it's just like those pods, dude. Because you're floating in 1,200 pounds of salt in a solution, so you just float there. And you just don't have any sound and nothing. You can just chill in there, dude.
Go to sleep.
And they have these special ones that filtrate, so you could just piss and shit in it, and then it filtrates all out, so you can go like 24, 36 hours in that.
Years.
Do they feed you?
No. You'd probably just get IVs in there and then you'd be total matrix.
Wake up like 200 years from now, like...
That can't be good for heirloom your skin, though, human. That kind of salt.
Yeah, I don't think it makes you prune, dude. Because the...
Yeah, osmosis, man. You're going to be dumping water out. You'd need a lot of fluid to replace all the water you'd lose.
I guess so, yeah. I just do it for meditation purposes. Yeah. I got to get a surgery on the 6th, and then I have a pod chilling that day of. So I don't think I can do both at the same time. It sucks, man. It sucks.
So what's the surgery for?
It's nodules on the bottom of my feet. So I got these. Both feet. From running, my big tendon that links up my whole foot has like these masses on them. From the bones and something, I don't know, but they're like super painful bundles of nerves. And sometimes I get like injections, so I decrease the inflammation and that works all right, but... The doc's like, hey, we just got to do a minor surgery.
A procedure.
It's so hard to get surgeries, man. Like, you
foot?
Gotta,
like, how are you going to get off of it?
This. And I'm like, hey, if I can do that and stay on disability longer, let's do it.
How are you gonna stay off your foot that long?
I don't know.
That seems like the tough part. Like, how are you going to just, you especially, how are you just going to sit and put your foot up and watch Game of Thrones for fucking, what, six
Sex
weeks?
In the City.
That's your jam, huh?
Yeah. I remember my chick one time got breast implants, and then she rented the whole season of Sex in the City, and so she was just chilling all knocked out on painkillers, drooling on the couch, and I watched the whole season because I was up and just sitting there, and I was like, well, might as well. I got to know, like, Carrie Bradshaw and all. Nah, man.
That was going to be a better story, like, breast implants, just lock the door for, like, a month, like, don't bother us.
I'm just saying, she was out, dude. She was on, like, some serious painkillers, dude. She was drooling on one side of the couch.
So did she always want them before you guys got together?
No. I actually hooked up with this chick from Canada in Nicaragua with big tits. And then I came home and she was all pissed because we were on a break. Let me get that straight. I hooked up with a big tit Canadian in Nicaragua. I came home and then she found out through Facebook or what's the other one? MySpace. And then she started verbaling the chick. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know she got fake ones with you.
Yeah. And then we're going to have to cut that part out. So then she just gets fake tits, like 6 months later, 3 months later. She knew I really liked them, like the big tits. So I was like, cool. And she had money to spend, so she just spent 8 G's and then boom. And then she walked around in a sling to like tell everyone, oh, I hurt my shoulder. But just really, she was just recovering from getting fake tits. I thought that was pretty funny.
Pretty clever.
I was like, just tell everyone. Who gives a fuck?
Not gonna be able to hide it. No, it's kind of clever. Just the transition period. Like, oh, well, you know, maybe her posture improved as she had the shoulder thing. I haven't seen her fucking chest for a little while. No, it's kind of clever.
Fake tits. I want to get like giant bolt on double fucking Z's.
He's so lucky.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how.
Cameron Swanton? Like,
yeah.
When's the last time you saw him, though, dude?
What a trip.
On the internet, just pumping iron.
I know. I see him on Facebook. That's it.
Does he pump iron a lot?
He's huge, dude.
He's, like, shredded,
yeah,
like, roided out?
Maybe.
He's
pretty.
Cameron Swanton was the most hilarious individual ever,
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
He reminded me of that one... comedian with a super obnoxious voice.
Bobcat Goldthwait?
No, that did the parrot in Aladdin.
Oh,
just super.
Dude.
Yeah,
kinda.
That's who Cameron Swan Gilbert Godfrey.
Yes.
That's who Cameron Swan reminded me of. And he was so funny back in the day. He was this tiny little guy. And he would just get a rise out of anyone. He would just go around shit disturbing. It was great.
He had that smile where he was just like...
Oh, he's a shit eater for sure.
I can't believe his sister came out such a dime piece.
So hot.
Jared Abbott's stoked, man.
So hot. Yeah, well, she made sure to lock him down as soon as he graduated from Fire Academy. You know, like, that was maybe, like, 2 years, and she's like, fuck, I'm gonna marry me a fireman.
Yeah, firemen get chicks, dude. Straight
up. You know
up.
What? No, they get one chick.
Oh, okay.
And that chick will fight tooth and nail to keep that man.
Oh,
so you gotta be willing to fucking really dismiss him if you want to be able to try to work that title as, like, fireman. And the thing is, like, then all you're not gonna be able to hang out with your other firemen friends because their fucking wives are gonna hate you because you're that one fucking swinger fireman, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of that age that we're at. Like, when you're single, you're totally, I don't know, excommunicated from the group of friends because their girlfriends are just like, no, you can't go hang out with him.
Oh, that's
he's dirty.
Yeah,
we want him using our toilet, you know, stuff like that.
Wow.
Just get that fucking attitude from them, and it's just like they're just jealous because they can't fucking hit it or get out and fucking get it. I don't know, man. I don't know what the fucking
issue
is, but it's got nothing
heard...
to do with me.
Yeah.
Very true.
There's a lot of like jealousy of them, you know. People want to be free. But
yeah.
Not.
So they'll hate on you.
I can see that. Yeah, I've wondered why I got excommunicated.
Oh, yeah.
Probably multiple reasons, multiple offenses.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man.
Doesn't take much.
Well, we're, 30s now, so everyone's locking it down pretty.
Yeah, and so that's what I'm thinking, you know, like just this time around, just have the kid right off the bat, get to know the person over the next, you know, 5 years. Then see if you want to make it happen or if you want to just call it and do, shared custody?
Yeah.
Something
like that.
Either that or you just have a kid with a friend. And then that way, like, your friend, the whole having a kid thing lasts longer than your strong powers of loving each other will often last. You know what I mean?
That's an interesting take
as,
on the whole...
As D. Schmidt said, that you just find the best friend you can fuck. Pretty simple. I like that.
As far as marriage goes?
As far as marriage goes.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, your girlfriend's going to become your best friend.
Yeah.
You know, that there's. Definitely. But the thing is like, there's going to be, I feel like, more emotion involved. Whereas a friendship can endure more than a relationship can. Relationships are so sensitive and fragile.
Yeah,
and the longer they go on, they can become more fragile.
Completely.
So, yeah, you kind of just like, kind of just rather do it with a friend.
That's why I've checked out as far as relationships go for the past 3-4 years. It's tough times.
Yeah, you don't return one text message on time. You know.
Speaking of which, I gotta send a text message.
Yeah,
you're gonna get freaking.
Chicks are aggro about that, huh? The activation of text messages, whether you read it or not, or how fast you respond to them.
Better have an excuse why.
I've never really had that issue. Maybe I'm on the losing end of it, where I'm like, God damn, why won't this bitch text me back?
It's true. Yeah.
I've had chicks that are psycho about it.
Really?
Why don't you pick up your phone? Are you too embarrassed?
Dude. See, where's your screening process? You should have done a background check. You should have Carfaxed that check, dude.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's the, you know.
Chick faxed.
Sometimes you don't know until you're...
Until your balls deep, yeah.
Yeah.
You really
yeah.
Just don't know.
You're like, whoa.
Well, that's what our generation does, is we fuck first and then ask questions later. And we're like, okay. We connect genitals before we connect head and heart, as my therapist would say. That's nice, huh? Gotta connect that head and then heart.
I was told...
Like Dom did.
And I was told that my chakras aren't open. The private one.
Who said that?
You gotta get that kundalini out and wave
around,
dude.
Julie, French Julie.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's funny, dude.
She's all, you spend too much time like working on your private parts that your like upper chakras will never open because you like. Are so focused on sexual chakra that, like, your brain is never.
Who is the French Julie?
So,
that's funny. Did you bang her?
No.
No. Looks good, dude.
She looks better. She looks happy. She's always a trip. One time with that chick, we were going down south to Año Nuevo, and we're coming back, and she just pulls off on the side of the road because she's seen this dead animal. Because she thought it was an owl, and it was an owl. So she found it, and she came back to the car, grabbed a big buck knife and then chopped off a wing and then threw it in the car. And it was such bad juju because she got in an accident like a week or 2 days later. And because she cut it off and it was on the side of the road, there was like yellow jackets still on it. So they were flying around the car and it smelled. I was like, you're fucking mental.
Almost as mental as that one dude who used to walk around on Highway 1 with a stick.
Yeah.
Do you remember him? Yeah. And he had like a dead owl that he was like cruising with.
Well, there was some little baby head. It had a troll doll on the top
of it. Yeah, that's right.
That guy used to walk so far.
He came to some AA meetings too, dude.
Did he?
Yeah, no, you were down in San Diego at the time.
From San Francisco to like Santa Cruz.
He would just go back and forth. I don't know if he went all the way to Santa Cruz. Half Moon Bay, I think he'd was.
No, he'd go south of Half Moon Bay. They found like this one spot and it had like all these Barbie dolls like in a circle out in the middle of some field.
Whoa.
That dude was nuts.
That's some creepy True Detective stuff.
Yeah.
Yikes.
I mean, I don't know if it was him, but he was like in the area. Someone found some crazy.
But why not, dude? Like, it's we all know who he is.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's not doing anything wrong.
Just cruising.
Yeah.
Heard he was drinking out of those fucking creeks, though, like at the ocean, the brackish stuff.
We have a new one.
Oh, was?
There's
really?
A new walker. Have you seen him? He's like this kid. He's like. He could almost be like your brother Schilling if you were like got super fried and went off the deep end. But he's got like the beard. You know, he looks a little more like a gorilla, but
yeah.
Have you seen him?
No.
I see him all the time, like
I gotta start driving Highway 1 more, apparently.
Yeah.
Not enough.
I see him at random places too, like south of town, Bean Hollow. I don't know if it's like some like psychedelic trip that these people get on.
So much walking by the highway. It sounds so miserable.
You ever been to the full moon parties at Pigeon Point?
No.
So apparently there's, because it's a federal lighthouse, the beach is federal land, so it's not under local municipal jurisdiction. So cops aren't allowed to bust up parties or something that are on the beach. So it's got a little loophole. It's not closed at night. It's under federal law. And federally, beaches are not closed at after dark. But in the state of California, they are. So you just have this little loophole. And I saw a huge group of people one time. And I was like, what are you guys doing? Oh, we're going full moon party. And I was like going the opposite way. I was like, wow, that sounds cool if I just had a place to go.
Yeah. Well, sorry to change subject, but you're pretty political.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What do you think about the election going on right now?
Well,
Bernie?
Yeah, I'm a burner, man.
Nice.
Definitely a burner.
I just feel like if someone has a bumper sticker for Bernie, they're pretty cool in my book.
Well, you know what I was just thinking today? Like, what if you did some kind of, like, sabotage, like, where you had people dress up like really gnarly hicks and do a lot of really mean stuff, and then, like, they just happen to have a Trump sticker or something, like, bumper sticker on. They hop in a car and go away, and they have a Trump. You just, like, you know, kind of thoughtful placement, like it'd be a good way to use the media and use, I don't know, just sort of, you know, TVs, movies, fiction.
Don't you think Hillary's the
like
biggest
slap that on there
to Bernie? Because they're neck and neck, and actually Hillary Clinton's beating Bernie out, right?
Well,
is she the main nominee now?
She's got all the delegates. Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's going to get the nomination.
Ugh.
But you know what? Because Bernie is there for the cause. So he's fighting for the cause. He doesn't know if he's going to be alive 4 years from now. So
he looks like a cartoon hero. You know, like his white hair is all just like...
Oh, yeah. He's totally a character, man.
Yeah.
You seen those sweatshirts where they have, instead of Bert and Ernie, it's Bernie?
No.
It's a little Sesame Street sweater. It's pretty funny. It's got his hair and shit like that. Looking all weird.
He does look like a
Muppet.
Yeah.
So, but no, he's a cause candidate, so he's going to stay until the end no matter what.
Even if it
means that Trump ends up in office.
Uh-huh.
So it's sort of like this chicken fight, if you will. You know, they're driving down the road opposite each other, and who's going to pull off? Is it going to who's the Mack truck and who's the Pinto?
Yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, is Hillary just going to stay into it till the end? I don't know. Would she do that? Would she play the spoiler? You know, is it more important to her that there's a Democratic leader in the office, or is it more important to her that she wins? And if she stays in it, then neither of them will win. You know, so you really have to do that kind of cost-benefit analysis. and you know, you're bluffing the other person, basically saying, I'll spoil you. So if you don't pull out, we're going to end up with a republic. We're going to end up with Trump. And then talk about a threat. Like, what kind of threat is that?
It is mental.
That's a lot on the table.
You know, I never thought he'd make it this far. And there's no other Republican that could hold a hat to him right now.
Yeah. Oh, no. He got the nomination. Everyone else is gone.
I know. It's just so crazy.
Ted Cruz, done.
It's like worse than Arnold Schwarzenegger, which I didn't find that bad. I think I voted for him, but way worse. Way worse.
I voted against the recall. I thought that was a waste of money, and it was all just, you know, it was a scapegoat thing. You ever watch that Enron movie?
Yeah.
Fuck, it's all about that Enron scandal, man. Had nothing to do with Gray Davis. It was all about deregulation that happened, you know. It's been happening over the last 30 years.
Yeah. That was mental.
So Enron just pumping up their stock. Public
but that's what, man. That's what the Chinese did to their stock market, too. But it was the federal government in China that was pumping up the stock market, saying, oh, yeah, we just got to keep feeding it money to make it our stocks worth so much. And then they realized, well, it's not even the economy driving this anymore. It's just the government pumping money into it. And then it just crashed. Because it's socialism, yeah? They weren't relying on capitalism. And that's what's so cool about America, that we rely on capitalism so heavy. If it's a good product and it's selling, we're going to keep making money.
It only works in theory, though.
Well, it's worked for the last 400 years, huh? Which is not that much time, but...
No. Because what you have happening now is that you have all this wealth consolidation in the largest corporations, because it's not about, like, can we exist together? It's command and conquer. So you go and buy out your competitors, and you expand in order to make things just a little bit cheaper. You're just always trying to trim off that extra, like, 15, 20, you know, 20 bucks here or there. And by doing that, you end up outsourcing your work to China, and then having, you know,
employees. That's what Walmart does.
Yeah.
Make you sign a contract where you decrease your price for 5 years, and then at that fifth year, if you don't move your whole factory to China and greatly reduce it, your product costs, then you're out. Then you're out of Walmart. You won't be able to sell your product there. So that's their whole business model. And it's great because it gives consumers cheap consumer goods, but at the same time, it's outsourcing it to other countries and putting a lot of the mom and pops out of business.
Well, not to mention you're doing it in countries that don't have environmental regulations, and we all share one environment.
Labor.
Like, this is one planet that we live on.
Like, China's so polluted.
Yeah, so letting them have the pollution over there. I mean, really, we should be, you know, the environmental thing we need to do would be to bring the industry back here, clean it up, purchase products that are durable, have to spend more for them, but have them last a lifetime rather than having this trade imbalance with China to produce their plastic crap that ends up in our landfills and pollutes their rivers, lakes, and streams and oceans.
Yeah.
That are our rivers, lakes, and streams and oceans, because it's the same planet. It's all one organism.
True.
So instead of sending it over there and letting them kill it and manage it poorly, like, why don't we do it? Well, because we don't want to spend the extra couple of bucks on a pair of sunglasses, you know?
That's crazy. Yeah.
So...
Sorry, where are lost products designed and made?
Right here in the USA.
Yeah, baby.
Designed or made?
No, I don't know. Probably India. Probably cotton from the poor
Indian
farmers.
We had Indonesia for a while, but
Jakarta?
We don't do it there anymore. I think we do Chinese.
I think the surfboards are made here.
They are, yeah. That's kind of cool. I like that they keep them in San Clemente. It's such a rad little shaping town. But, we lined up interviews for Pearson Arrow in Santa Cruz this week and Pacific Wave. So we're just adding the consumerism of America. So kudos to us.
Yeah, more surfboards, more high toxicity, landfill. Yeah, I think they're durable boards. They last for a while.
But I actually saw a video about a mushroom, a fungus, that eats polyurethane. So it breaks it down completely.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I was thinking about, like, a bio surfboard made out of, like, that
mushroom
fungus.
Stuff that you do for packing material?
But, yeah, like,
really
glass them in mushrooms and then make a board out of, like, breadcrumbs, something light and strong, like sourdough. And then mushroom glass it. And then I'll chop it up and feed it to
free-range
chickens or something.
Fuck, dude. It's Spicoli, man. Ahead of your time.
So far in the future.
Edible surfboards. I like that.
Well, biodegradable, man, because we have the biofoams, and it's like, is anybody even doing that? And now everyone's sending it to China, right?
Suck.
Oh, it's cheaper over in China, and their foam sucks, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I know that there's a Marco foam in Santa Cruz where you can bring in, like, old surfboards or, like, random styrofoam stuff.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And they have, like, the thing there, it just, like, clamps it down and hits it with...
Pressurizes it.
Yeah, pressurizes it.
That's cool.
And then, boom, you got a board, you know, Stretch, most of his boards are made out of it. It has like a little recycle logo, but it's kind of like, it's recycled, but it's not like...
Wait, so you're saying they hit it with heat, and they melt an old surfboard down into an oil, and then they make foam out of it again?
Piss.
Yeah, they just make boards out of old boards, yeah.
But they're not actually just taking the board, stripping the glass off it, making a smaller surfboard out of it.
No, it chops it up and... turns it into like a dust, and then they redo the whole process.
Interesting.
I think, yeah.
Well, fuck, that's not a bad idea either.
That'd be cool, though.
I mean, just to know that somebody's doing something with old surfboards, you know, I don't like the idea of that, just toss it in a landfill.
Yeah.
Or light it on fire.
I have a surfboard graveyard that's kind of nice. Yeah. You can, like, go out there and, like, pay respects to your old boards. Kind of like a walk down memory lane.
Yeah.
They're all just out there rotting. I'm like, pull them apart, you know, like, where are you? Oh, I remember you. We had good times. Like,
but you haven't posted up on, like, a fence?
Yeah, actually, it kind of adds to, like, the privacy, like, my parents' house. Kind of have them, like, strung onto the fence, you know? They,
Are there boards that you go out there and see and you don't even really remember them?
Some of them I really don't really remember too well. You know, I kind of like, oh yeah, you know, like a board that didn't last that long, like just a couple months.
Yeah,
just something kind of in between. But then some of them I'm like, dude, that was like a board for me.
Yeah.
That went the distance.
Yeah, and some memorable sessions.
Yeah, sentimental value.
So, Sean, what are you going to do when you graduate college, man?
Start a business.
Is that?
Well, I don't know, man. I might go work for a couple of years just to get a little little income on the books so that way I can apply for a loan. I'm getting the real estate game like you. I'm hoping that the economy takes a shit.
It is.
Right before I graduate. Or like just like right as I'm graduating so I can get some of those low interest rates on some commercial real estate.
Did you have to take a loan out to
trailer
go to school?
That'd be cool.
No. Well, I owe money.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, sick. Because you've been working?
Haven't been working.
Hmm.
But.
How is that? You just go to school full time now?
Yeah.
Girl, that's dope. That's like you're just a full time student.
Yeah.
Just the way it should be.
Well, my dad made the offer and I was like, fuck, I don't know if I can pass this up. It sounds like an excuse to do nothing for a good, like, four. In here, I thought it was going to be 3 years. I was like, oh, I already got one under my belt. It's been 3.5 years I've been back in school. I thought I already had a year under my belt. Turned out it was only half a year's worth of transferable classes. And then they're like, okay, well, I'm not going to take you that long to get all your GEs out of your way, but how about your math? You know, like, you're really far behind in that. And so I started at beginning algebra, intermediate, advanced algebra,
don't
trigonometry,
stop.
Calculus, calc 2. I got one more calc.
God.
Differential equations, linear algebra. Which can be combined in one semester, so that could be as little as one more year of math,
Jesus.
And I would never have to look at another equation.
When did you live in Kauai for 6 months? Is that before you embarked on
26,
school?
26, turning 27? Yeah.
Before you embarked on school, huh?
So, I lived in a van in Kauai.
Wow.
I would fucking get a book, kick my feet up, hang out at the beach, read a whole fucking book, you know?
What?
Sometimes I wouldn't even go for a run. Sometimes I'd forget to eat lunch, dude. Just like in a book, man. Just fucking.
Wow.
I was like, you know what? Here I am. Got all the time in the world, right? Just chilling. And it sucks.
Too much free time.
It sucks.
Straight up, man.
And then, what was your favorite wave in Kauai?
Dude, I would love to go back and do more longboarding at Haunted Bay. Honestly, I was rehabbing my shoulder there, so it was more like to go swim and surf every once in a while.
Okay.
And when it gets big there, it gets big and heavy fast. Yeah. So there's nowhere to, like, you know, kind of surf mellow, except for if you're surfing with the KKs down at Pine Trees.
Yeah.
So I liked longboarding on a small, perfect day at Pine Trees was sick. You could, like, you could walk out there up to your waist, hop on your board, and, like, peel off little long fucking longboard peelers that would go, you know, probably a good 50 yards, 80 yards, and just getting sick nose rides and just in shallow water. Easy waves.
And you worked at a restaurant there?
I did, yeah. Mediterranean Gourmet down at the end of the road.
Did you meet any nice chicks at the restaurant?
Yeah. Made some good friends, yeah. Yeah. Totally.
And then tourists?
No tourist tang over there, because it's all people go to Kauai with their family, or they go there for a honeymoon. Nobody else even knows that Kauai exists.
I mean, people
from other parts, so they've heard of Maui. They go straight to Oahu. Like, anybody from other parts of the country, they've never even heard of Kauai. You say it, and they're like, "Oh, Hawaii," and they don't even know what you're talking about. So you don't learn about that place until your friends are like, "Oh, this would be a great place for your honeymoon," or "Oh, this would be the good place to go with your kids." So those are the people who show up there. I talk to people who are our age from other parts of the country, and they're like, "Where?"
No idea.
I go to the North Shore. That's what I do.
Yeah, I've only been there once.
Or Maui.
Or Maui. Maui's become... And apparently Maui was sort of the same story 20 years ago. People weren't really going to Maui either.
Yeah.
Maui's pretty hip. People are like...
Oh, for sure.
Maui.
Yeah. Maui Waui, man.
Whoa. Yeah.
It's all Maui.
It's trademarked. Kauai is like secret. I think they want to keep it that way.
Keep it quiet.
Remember that first time you went to Oahu, Don? And you went with, like, McDev's and Schweik.
Yeah.
Where'd you guys stay?
VW bus. Crushed it with a pop top.
Nice.
Brian and I were shared the upper bunk.
No way.
It's like...
Where would you
pretty
sleep?
Pretty much shoulder to shoulder.
How were the mosquitoes?
Minor.
Just kept it zipped up?
Kept it zipped up, man. It was like a little two-story house. We had Schweik in the... downstairs.
Dude,
like,
it must have been hot in there, man.
Yeah, it was pretty uncomfortable.
I roasted in my van, man.
What'd you do with the van at the end?
Tried to sell it. It had a transmission issue. I ended up having to, like, give the thing away right before I left.
And then you met Heidi there on a hike?
Met Heidi on a hike, and then we didn't end up hooking up until 6 months later.
Oh, wow. So you didn't even kiss her or anything?
No. Oh, I did, actually. One kiss, because we just had this day that was, like, a perfect date. Like, we just saw each other at the beach. I was like, "Hey, you want to go to Farmer's Market?" She's like, "Yeah." I was like, "Hey, you want to throw around the Frisbee?" She's like, "Yeah." "Hey, you want to go grab something to eat?" She's like, "Yeah." I was like, "Hey, you want to hit up a hot tub?" She's like, "Fuck yeah." So then it was just a perfect
date. Where was
date.
The hot tub?
Oh, at Princeville at the Westin or whatever, that big
That's
fucking...
That's so sick.
You guys jumped the fence or something?
I think we just walked right through the front door and then went and hopped in, yeah. I mean,
executive,
like,
style.
Yeah, we even did get hassled. Like, you know, we're going to have to go check your name, you know, and they got the walkie-talkie. "Oh, can you check on this, you know, what room are you staying in?" Fucking dicks.
Oh,
like, how are you
going to
bother two
out?
People who are sitting in the hot tub by themselves, making out? Like, why would you...
Yeah.
Why would you... You're going to go
at
fucking
the beach
hassle.
House, they just, like, turn on their phone and make, like, a little porno.
Dude, how many times have we been in the beach house, dude? So many times.
Yeah.
They don't kick you out until, like, you're done.
Then they finally come in right at the end, just for cleanup duty.
Dude, you know what I always wanted to do was go to the chouch, like, if I was ever just wasted and needed a place to crash, and just go out and they have a little, that patio.
Uh-huh.
Go out onto the patio, just push a bunch of tables together, flip on the heat lamp, and just sleep out there.
Nice. A little late night crash.
Hey, dude, yeah, you could make it 85 degrees in there. It could be storming. You could be all cozy in
work.
There.
Heck yeah.
At Samuel's Chowder Hut?
Yep.
Oh, Jesus, that place.
Is that one dude still work there, Jay?
Yeah.
He's cool, man.
Down for the count.
Dude.
I know. It's crazy he's been in restaurant management as long as he has.
His
they
eyes are, like, so
good money.
Clear. I've never met anyone with, like, white eyes.
He doesn't get eye anymore.
Is that it?
Stoner, yeah.
Yeah.
And at the employee parties, when he'd have, like, a couple drinks, he'd get wasted.
Yeah?
Wasted. Yeah.
Him and Carrie still together?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. You know who I saw the
other
day?
Kids are all grown up.
Joe. That used to be Jay's roommate.
Alright.
Do you remember? No?
No.
He used to work at the brewery. As one of the managers. I was wondering what happened to that guy. It looked like he was rolling with his gay lover, but I was just like, yeah, I wasn't sure. Because he was kind of a bearded bear man looking guy. It was kind of strange.
What pisses me off, though?
What?
Is when these gay guys, like, start, like, slapping chicks' asses and, like, oh, it's cool, like, I'm gay, yeah, and they're, like, grabbing ass.
Yeah.
Nothing pisses me. And Asian people calling each other the N-word.
Yeah.
That was pretty annoying.
That one's probably more annoying with the gay dudes grabbing ass.
I've never seen that, but that's...
It's a cop-out, like... Oh, I'm gay, but they'd smack that ass around.
But you're so tight.
Okay, we'll shut it off. Good podcasting, guys. Thanks for coming down, chilling.
Yeah, let's smoke some weed and go to fucking yoga, man.
Thanks for everybody tuning in to the podcast. I hope you enjoyed what you hear. I know I got some laughs. Peace out, and this is Just Call Wick.